Good morning, brothers and sisters. I first of all want to thank you very, very much for your prayers. Last week I called for prayers and I've really been blessed by your prayers and been encouraged throughout the week. Brother Steve sent me a message. Pastor Steve, who spoke last week, sent me a message. Brother Anil is here. He surprised me. He said, I'm here to support you, and I'm really, really blessed. And thank you so much for all your prayers. And this really shows that the church is united. You can see my message. I mean, the title of my message is Watch Out for Those Who Cause Division and Cloth Yourselves to Unite. I'm going to talk partly about unity, but this basically speaks to me how there is actually unity in this church. Without further ado, but before I start, I just want to pray quickly because you guys have been praying for me and I just want to thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I'm standing before your people. These are your people, oh God. And I'm here in front of them to bring a word of encouragement. And that word of encouragement has to come from you and not from me because I myself am empty. I'm an empty vessel. But I trust in you. I have faith in you. I stand here by the grace of God. And I pray that my brothers and sisters will be blessed and will be touched by this message that you're sending through me. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, this is a very great privilege for me to stand before you. I don't take this responsibility lightly. I don't have any special qualification to stand before you to do this. I've never been to a Bible school. I was in Dallas one time visiting a friend. That was the shortest time. That's the only time I've been to a Bible school. For a few days, I sat in their classes because it's a Bible school. They will allow any visitor to attend, you know, as long as you are friends. That was the only time so I'm just going to speak from the heart, and it's going to be very simple. I'm not a sophisticated person. I don't have all these theories and all these things. It's very, very simple. So you can see, by this, I can actually close now and say, let's go home. I've already spoken, you know. I have a very long, but the short version of my message is watch out and clothe yourselves. Watch out and clothe yourselves. So if you don't remember all this long version of the title, remember, watch out and clothe yourselves. I struggle, really, how to bring these two messages together. I was thinking one or the other, but both of them were quite heavy in my heart. But starting first with watch out. Lighthouse, we just celebrated our 30th anniversary, and it's built on, founded and established on strong biblical principles by the late Dad Nolan, Mom Nolan, and Philip. And we've had the privilege of having Pastor Rene and Pastor Jennifer here. And recently we've had Brother Anil and Brother Steve. So Lighthouse, we are really grounded in the Word of God. But yet still, my message is no more of the message that we receive here, because I believe there is no there's nothing, in terms of false teaching that is causing division. But what is out there? And Brother Anil touched on something last week, which was basically, the concerns now that, and the fear of COVID and what is happening around the world. And it's caused a lot of disruption in our lives. There are places people don't go to church. They just stay at home and maybe have a fellowship if they're lucky. And for us, remember, for a while, all we had was online fellowship. And I was really excited about it. But it came to a point that I was thinking that I was not really having what I really want, Coming here and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters is really different from just staying at home on my sofa with a cup of coffee or whatever you drink and just listening. This is real fellowship, and I love what we have here. But there are things that I believe. There was a time in my life when I was really struggling about my Christian life. This is not too far recent. It was maybe a few months back or a year or so. that I started looking at what was happening around the world, looking at Christianity, looking at Christians, and I started questioning, is Christianity real? Is it, I started doubting my faith. And to a point that one time I could specifically remember that I said to myself, have I wasted all my years being a Christian? And I quickly said, oh, no, Moses, don't start going this direction. But because of what was happening in some of the news I was following and seeing what Christians were doing, I believe it actually impacted my life in short way. I started thinking negatively about Christianity. But thank God, I'm in this church, and I continue to come here, and, I'm able to stand before you today. But all of this is because of technology that we have now, that people put on false information, and people use technology, whether it's WhatsApp, internet, or whatever it is, to just create division. And people, we have people who are naive, who are basically people with raw emotions, people going through difficult times, and they get this information and they hang on to it, and it's leading people astray, which is really a very sad thing. So in Colossians, Paul talks about, false teaching, but he provided some tools to the Colossians about how to deal with false teachings. And false teaching sometimes is basically intentional for selfish gains, and sometimes it's not. It's out of ignorance or sort of just not knowing what the truth is. But we have to be careful, and that's one of my main topic I'm going to talk about. But let me just read this. False teachers or those causing division amongst Christians do not label themselves or with a big sign that says, I'm false teacher, or this message I'm posting on WhatsApp or on the internet is to deceive. They come in a very special way that can mislead people and get people away. And there are some of our brothers, I'm not trying to point fingers or what, but I encourage you to join the church, come here and fellowship with us. Instead, they disguise themselves as righteous, preaching or standing up for Christian principles or fighting for your rights or whatever good they may sugarcoat, but secretly causing division and destruction in the church and amongst believers. And so this is a summary of my message. We can go now to the first slide. Hopefully I can get it. Yeah. So, okay. Paul in Colossians had some warnings about false teaching, and I will go through this. It's more on today's message is more like a presentation because I'm sort of used to, tomorrow I have a presentation with my big bosses, so I'm used to doing presentations. Paul admonishes the Colossian church to say not to be deceived by fine sounding arguments. And as I said earlier, the greatest challenge or danger to the church and Christianity comes from Christian leaders and others within the church who purposefully attempt to set aside the clear teachings of the scripture for their selfish gains. And this is happening not only pastors, but their leaders, their people within our community who are steering things among Christians that is causing division. And it's quite sad that, we see these things which we did not have years back. Divisions were there, but now it seems to be more and more prominent, in my opinion. So Paul is saying, be careful, don't be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. And then the second one, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So this basically is saying that don't become a captive, a slave, through hollow and deceptive philosophy. When something is hollow, it's empty. It has no substance. But from the outside, it looks good. And so people come with this hollow ideas and philosophy. What is philosophy? I mean, to break it down into simpler way, philosophy is just views. What do we think these days about certain issues? And as you can see, I mean, as you're fully aware, things are evolving these days. You know, what used to be right, acceptable years ago, it's no more acceptable. Things that were vice versa, things that were not acceptable are not acceptable these days. And so where does the truth lies? We can easily fall into that trap of saying that, okay, this is the new trend and let's follow it. And basically fall into that trap of being captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. The third one is, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed off with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Few things to highlight here. People who delight in false humility, they may come to you and say, you know, they look all humble. They look like they are basically there with all humility, but basically it's false. And so what happens? If you follow them, you become disqualified. And that's what Paul says here. So these people come with great detail about what they have seen. It may not nowadays or what revelation or what thing right they're fighting for. You know, it might be a politician who thinks that he's fighting for your rights, you know, but all in reality, it's not, there's no humility, you know, which Christ calls, which Paul wants his people. The church of Colossians. So what is philosophy of our times? As I said earlier, philosophy is basically viewpoints, thinking, way of life, attitude. Things that we're, I've already said that. Let me don't repeat myself. Okay, slide. So can we just read this? Can we just read this together? I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus. Okay, again, Paul, this is in Romans 16, 17 to 19, admonishing the Roman church that they be careful that they are not deceived. Their minds are by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Naive. I looked at the dictionary. We'll see. Mina is here. We'll be probably looking at a few definitions later in the second part. She's an English teacher. So I looked at the word naive. It's trusting, innocent, childlike, inexperienced. And sometimes we think that people who are joining cults are basically, some sort of weird people. They're not. Sometimes it's not. They're just being misled. It's just being misled by, they're naive, they're trusting, they're innocent, they're going through emotions. And that's when people who are deceptive come in into their lives and trick them. And it can happen to anybody. Educated people. There was a doctor who died recently in Sierra Leone, the country I come from. Very well-educated person, one of the top doctors. When he was very sick, what he did, instead of going to hospital, he tried few hospitals because he was so concerned about his health. He started going to some pastors who were selling some liquid or whatever, fluid or juice that will heal him. Unfortunately, he passed away a few months ago. But it's not just the uneducated. It can happen to anybody. We have to be careful. Let's continue to meet together as brothers and sisters and encourage one another, and let us not be led astray. Matthew 7:15 says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Wow, the word ferocious. I didn't look up this word, but I believe, Mina, please correct me if I'm... They are very ferocious. They are very... what word can I give? Anybody can give me what? Very fierce. Very fierce. That's the word. They are very fierce, and they can destroy you. So false prophets, they come to you in sheep clothing. You won't know. They look like they're basically everything is fine. They're preaching the word of God, and they come to destroy your life, your family, your relationship, the people that you love, the church that you are in. They just destroy you. We are lucky. We don't have, it's not a common thing, but just let's be, it's a warning that our brother, Paul gave to the Romans. Well, Paul, after giving this, Paul went on to give advice about how to deal with this sort of situations. There are three points. He says, maintain discipline and firm faith in Christ, which is verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 5 of Colossians. So we need to maintain discipline and be firm in our faith in Christ. How do we maintain discipline? We have to maintain discipline by coming to church, having fellowship, by prayer, by encouraging one another, by generosity with one another, and by studying the Word of God. That is how we can maintain discipline and firm faith in Christ. The second one is hold on tight to the good teaching received. I started talking about the Nolans, how the Nolans established this church based on strong biblical principles. And we still have that with Pastor Jennifer, with Brother Anil, Pastor Steve. We've really been encouraged. And I know as time goes on, more people will come up that will bring good teaching in this church. So when we were recently celebrating the anniversary of the church, there was one theme that was highlighted or was prominent, and that was, the next generation. And that's, as I was preparing this, I was thinking about what is our responsibility as Christians, as members of Lighthouse, to see that this church grows and is established for another 30 years. Because if we don't stay together, if we allow things to happen within ourselves, it's not going to be the same. This church might just disappear. Maybe in 10 years, 20 years, you might not be here. Or it might be completely something different that you come, you will not really, if you're still alive, you will not be able to recognize. Sorry for being so harsh. But so we have that responsibility to make sure that we pass on that sort of, we build this church through the grace of God, what others have already done, and continue to build on what we have. I need to move on. So, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is Matthew 7, 24, 27. I'm going to the next one. I'm not going to talk about clothing ourselves as I look at the time. There is a connection between the first message and the second, but I'm not going to go into the details about the first or the second. I'm just going to move on to the... Can we just read this one? Brother Anil talked about 2 weeks ago. He talked about putting on the armor of God and all these things that we did. Did a few exercises about that. I'm going to look at it slightly different, but again, it's here. Paul is telling the Colossians, after all he has said about false teaching, about admonishing them and encouraging them, he comes here and talks about, you know, clothe yourselves with this compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And above all, he says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I'm going to try and encourage the church. I will just, because of time, I think, I'll still go ahead and give an illustration of my glasses. I haven't been using glasses since I wasn't born without glasses. I started using glasses about 25 years ago. At first, I was completely in denial when I had eye problem. I was here single. I was staying at Toon Moon at that time, and I was studying at Hong Kong U. I was doing a postgraduate diploma course. And I used to come after work. I go to Hong Kong U campus at night. And then by 10 o'clock, get the bus back to Toon Moon. And so you could imagine, a few times, I ended up in Tin Sui Wai. The bus comes, and I can see exactly, this is the number. And I went inside, and I ended up in Tin Sui Wai. And then what happened was, by the time I get home, it's already past midnight, almost 1 o'clock. And this happened to me a few times. And I said, something must be wrong. I saw the number. It's exactly the same. But how come? And then I realized that maybe something is wrong with my eye. I did an eye test, and I found out that, yes, there was something wrong with my eye. And then there was another situation while I was in the States my master's degree. I came to Hong Kong. The company I was working for, there was an arbitration going on, and I was a key witness in the arbitration. So they brought me back. I was staying in the hotel for the summer. The day I was supposed to go back, I don't like long flights. Everybody would be sleeping, and I was still awake. And so what happened was I decided, okay, I used to stay up till late or sometimes don't sleep the whole night. I had disconnected the phone to charge my laptop, and I didn't have a mobile. So I went to sleep. When I woke up, somebody was knocking at my door. I looked up. It was the driver of the company trying to take me to the airport. I had to fly back to Chicago and then Pittsburgh. I rushed, got my things, got into the car, got to the airport. I did not even brush. I did there. And I ended up in Chicago sitting I was in the car. Then I realized that I had left my glasses. So when I got to Chicago, I was sitting there just close to my gate. After a while, I don't know what was happening. I decided, okay, it was my time. I looked. I went there. They said, oh, your flight left 1 hour ago. And then they said, luckily there was another flight, a late flight. But the flight was one of the smallest flights I've ever taken. It was about about 14, maximum 20 people. And it was so small and it was shaky throughout, and I was so scared. And I got to campus. I mean, I was not staying on campus. I was staying out. There was a barbecue, a Christian fellowship. I went there and I could hardly recognize the people. So after that, I went back and I wrote an email to all my friends, people I know. I said, sorry, I don't have my glasses. Maybe in case, you know, you're waving to me and I just ignore you, please know I don't have my glasses. So that was why I forgot my glasses. And then the third one was recent, intentionally leaving my glasses at home. You know, normally I go on Saturdays if I am not working, because I work on alternate Saturdays. This Saturday, I usually go jogging, but now I call it jog to McDonald's, because I jog to go get McDonald's and come back for my family, you know. So this early morning I woke up and I realized I had my mask on, so I thought my glasses were there. So I came out, then I realized the door was already closed. And then I tried to open it, but it was making too much noise, and I didn't want to wake them up. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go without my glasses. I went there, jogged, and then went to McDonald's, bought the McDonald's, and the lady said, oh, watch for your number. And I actually looked, and it was all black. I could not see. I said, how am I going to? So I just stood in front of the counter to make sure that, because I knew what I ordered. So immediately came, I took it, and I was going back. And the funny thing that happened was, I usually walk most of the time, sometimes with my family, we just walk to the next village to buy stuff. Nobody has ever said hi to us. But suddenly there was a lady who said in a very strong, clear English, good morning. And I looked at her. I could not recognize her. She was here wearing a hat. And I just said good morning and I walked. And I was thinking all throughout the way, I've been thinking about it. Was she an angel or was it my neighbor? Who was she? Because I could not recognize her. I didn't have my glasses because I intentionally left my glasses at home. Why have I gone through this elaborate story? It's because sometimes, you know, what we've talked about here, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, sometimes we intentionally say, oh, I have all of this, I don't need it. Or you go out and you forget it, but are you able to send an email like I did to that person if you're not kind to that person and say, sorry, here's an email, I did not bring my, you know. But Paul is saying, clothe yourselves, put it on, like what Brother Anil was saying. So now the interesting part we're going to do is... But before I do that, I was going to miss, I need to rush. What Paul, therefore here, and those, there is a reason why there is a therefore there. So something must have happened. Basically, what Paul had said, what preceded before this therefore was, Paul encouraged the Colossians. One, he says, set your hearts on things above. And then, secondly, he said, set your minds on things above, not on earthly nature. The set your hearts on things above is where Christ is. And then set your minds on things above, not on earthly nature. The first one is the heart. And you can just imagine the heart is where responsible for all the blood circulations. And I was thinking about it this morning. I thought, you know, why is it the heart is the first? It's because the heart is your being. When your heart stops, you're no more. When your brain, you know, the mind, the second one, there's situations where people, they said, he's brain dead, but he's still alive. But when your heart stops, basically you're no more. So Paul starts with, set your hearts on the things above, set your minds on things above, not on earthly nature. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. And therefore, put to death earthly nature. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We are now a new self. when we become Christians, we are now a new person. We're still on earth. People will see us wearing the same clothes, or maybe our style may change a little bit, depending on how you've been dressing. But we are now a new person. And as Christians, we come together in Lighthouse. We are all new people in the sense of new self. But there is one thing that I will just read this again. The new self that each of us has put on makes Lighthouse a place of worship. Our new self helps us coexist as brothers and sisters in peace, irrespective of our differences, social background, race, experiences, cultural backgrounds, and should help us put our prejudices that might arise from those backgrounds in order to facilitate the unity of the body of Christ. Unity in the body of Christ is a manifestation of God working in us as individuals and a body in spite of our differences. We all come, you know, we have different nationalities, different, you know, so we have that responsibility to make sure that, you know, we live peacefully with one another. I need to move faster. This one I'm going to go through quickly. These are all definitions, and this is where I will need, maybe by the end of this, you will have an English certificate. What is compassion? I thought about this is because sometimes we look about, we read in the Bible, and then we read certain words, and we just pass through it. But I decided to look at it in different ways. What is compassion? Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to elevate that the suffering. In King James Bible, it talks of bowels of mercies, tender-hearted mercy. What are the synonyms? Can you replace? Pity, sympathy, feeling empathy, care, concern, sensitivity. Okay, you may say, oh, I have all of this. Well, let's look at the opposite. Animosity, cruelty, meanness, indifference. Does it have any correlation? I mean, do you think you have all of this? I mean, all the positives and none of the negative? What is kindness? Kindness is a state of or quality of being kind, of a good or benevolent nature or disposition as a person. Humane. What are the synonyms? Affection, concern, considerate or helpful act. What are the opposite? Hostility, cruelty, hatred, animosity. And let's remember, kindness is a fruit of the spirit. Galatians 5:23. Humility, the quality or condition of being humble, modest. Modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance or rank. Synonyms, modesty, lack of pride, lack of vanity, humbleness, humanity. The opposite is pride. I just took one because I think that's more than enough. Excessive, unwarranted opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority. And we have in Proverbs 13:10 where it says, where there is strife, where there's conflict, trouble, or discord, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. So if there's any strife or any conflict here, then there's some sort of pride, and we need to deal with it. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Well, the great Mandela, an icon in Africa, and maybe many parts of the world, said, the first thing is to be honest with yourself. You can never have an impact on society if you have not changed yourself. Great peacemakers are all people of integrity, of honesty, and humility. We know Mandela was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, and this is what he says. And Rick Warren, this is another quote that I really liked. It says, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, thinking that, oh, I'm nobody. It is thinking of yourself less. Well, the best definition of humility is this. Can we just read this? Thank you. Patience, the quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. An ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Synonyms, composure, endurance, persistence, long-suffering, self-control. What is the opposite of patience? Agitation, indifference, frustration, impatience, intolerance. And also, let's remember, it is the fruit of the Spirit. And there's one thing I actually missed out, and I just want to say it quickly. I know it's about the event that the youths have, which is basically the homeless outreach. For me, I've watching for the past few months, we've been watching at our home, we've been watching videos about homelessness. And this just came in as, as a practical way that we can actually be involved. I really learned about homelessness that I used to see homeless people as drug addicts or people who made bad decisions. But there's a guy in California who makes videos about, he calls it invisible people. And it's just great to watch. I can watch it hours and hours and just have that sort of compassion, trying to see how can I, someday I just want to be able to help out. Because I find out that it's not just about drugs. There are people who are, there are bad decisions people make. But there are situations that come upon them that they don't have control. People going through divorce, people going through unemployment, being kicked out. They were not making enough money, and they suddenly be kicked out of their houses. And I found out that, and some of the things they were saying is basically, you know, people were indifferent to their plight. Sometimes people this is in the U.S., throw water on them, you know, treat them very badly, take their stuff if they've gone somewhere and they come, somebody has stolen their stuff. And I just want to appeal to the church that let's open our hearts and minds to participate some way, one way or the other, in helping with the homeless. And I hope that this message has blessed you. I've really rushed with it. I mean, when you prepare these messages, you don't have a clue how long it's going to take. And but it's been really a blessing, and I thank you very much for listening. But in the end, I want to close with this prayer, which is the end of chapter 3. This is my prayer for Lighthouse. Can we all just stand and say pray this? I followed what Brother Steve had encouraged us to do. That is basically to replace, to personalize the text. Let's let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Since as members of our one body, we were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. And whatever we do, whether in word or deed, We do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you.